slates, and you can choose which slate you want to ask the question to. And then everybody on that slate would get the chance to respond if they want to. If not everybody wants to answer, that's fine. They can choose one person to answer that question. But we do encourage that everybody gets, you know, everybody to answer. And then the other slate that, you know, if you address the question just one slate, so the other slate that is not getting that question, they have a chance also to reply to what the answers were. So is that clear for everybody, or is it not very clear?
And it's 3 minutes each, it turns out, because of the number of candidates for the answer.
Yeah. Well,
how is it a debate if you don't get
to? Okay, I attended the sessions where they voted on the budget. And I did know that the Voices for Independent Media did challenge
Independent
Slate, or whatever it was. ICR did challenge the budget. But in my view, I mean, they didn't say we're going to make a public issue of it. They didn't vote no on it. That was what I think was required. Now the question, and the management did not carry out the cuts. Now our view is that if you don't have the income, if you don't have the revenue, you have to cut the budget, and that you have to do it by seniority. And what's happened in our view in KPFA is that people have been laid off outside of seniority. Other people have been hired at KPFA, and new programs have been started outside of seniority. That's a violation of, I think, union contracts. If you're going to have layoffs, which I'm against in general, I'm against laying people off, they have to pay their bills, but when you have layoffs, you do it by seniority. That's not taking place, and there's not a transparent process in the management. As a matter of fact, Amelia Gonzalez, around the layoff or the cutting of time of one programmer on Flashpoints, Nora Barrow Friedman, was laid off. Hours were cut 50%. Other hours of other workers who'd been just hired did not have their hours cut. So it's political retaliation in our view. That's what's going on. There has to be transparency. You have to follow a contract. You have to have a good process. But that doesn't. The other issue about whether KPFA will survive. We believe that KPFA will survive and Pacifica will survive, but it can't survive by paying staff if it doesn't have the money. It means community producers. That's what you have to do. If you can't have paid staff, you have to have community producers. This is a community radio station. That's what it is. So those people who are arguing that KPFA will be destroyed unless we get $4 million or $1 million, no. There are many community radio stations all over the country that do programming 24 hours a day with community programmers, and they don't have a budget of $1 million. KPFA actually in Pacifica are in better shape than many stations. They own the building. They own a lot of resources. So in reality, Pacifica and the stations are in good shape. They're running a deficit. You have to cut that deficit. And I agree with those who have said we have to have a plan to build up the stations. We have to have a plan for new programming to win the audience that's left. Many people have left and go to KLW, go to Green 960. And they're going to those stations. They're not listening to KPFA. It's not relevant to them anymore. We have to change that dynamic. And that means new voices, new programs. We have to use KPFB to have new programs and have that on the internet as well. This means we have to have an activist station. What I've said in the past, for example, as far as building listenership, I want to talk about building listenership. There was a rally of 5,000 workers at UC Berkeley. Largest rally, and KPFA was not there covering it live. In the 60s and 70s, they would have covered that rally live, and it would have reached all over the country. Thank you.
Next. So why don't we go with Voices for Justice?
Could you read the question again?
Most of the KPFA paid staff belong to the CWA, but about two-thirds of the programmers are unpaid. How should their rights as workers in this media project be protected?
Well, as a former member of the unpaid staff organization, we tried, when I was there, we had the labor collective to have grievances, particularly on violence at the station.
Please speak into the microphone.
As a former member of the unpaid staff organization, we tried to have grievances at the station, including the unsafe working situation. There was violence at the station, chairs were being thrown, People were being threatened. This was not a good atmosphere to bring members of the community and workers to come to the station to do programming. And we ran into a roadblock. The roadblock was that management did not want to take up the issue. And they were angry, as a matter of fact, those supporters of management, that we even raised the issue about what was going on at the station. They said, we don't want to hear this. Some people, as a matter of fact, abstained on the vote who were running in the ICR slate when we made a motion against violence at the station. I think the unpaid staff organization has a right to have a contract. They were dissolved. As a matter of fact, supporters of the Save KPFA slate were involved in meetings talking about dissolving the unpaid staff organization. They said it wasn't meeting, it was insignificant, it didn't represent the majority of the staff. That was their arguments for dissolving that unpaid staff organization. It was a long struggle, which we supported, for the unpaid staff organization to be recognized. Everyone needs to be recognized, and we support the unpaid staff as well as the staff to be represented and have a process, a grievance process. One of the big problems at KPFA, despite the demands to have a personnel policy, to have transparency, that the workers don't even know what their grievance procedure is if there's an incident at the station. How can you have a proper functioning of a radio station or any operation for that matter if you have no procedure, no democratic process and procedure to deal with your grievances? It leads to anger, frustration, retaliation, people doing things that they wouldn't otherwise do, and that's something we have to change to revive KPFA and Pacifica. Thank you.
Does anybody else on your
That brings to mind the incident with Nadra Foster. I mean, I think she was involved with Elemental Roots. She did that way back. That's a really cool show I used to listen to. And to have her treated like that, you know, have the cops call on her, is crazy. There was just no kind of diplomacy whatsoever with whoever was in charge or taking a leadership role at the station at that time. In 2007, at the end of 2007, I went down to the station myself to witness a publicly advertised ballot counting during the elections of the late 2007. And Louis Sawyer, he was at the front entrance, he would not let me in. I asked to please speak with the local election supervisor, Janae Jenkins. They would not let me do that. As far as I can tell, that's an obstruction of the elections process. And that's what happens to listeners when they try to get involved and try to go to the station and witness what's going on. Any kind of due process for volunteers or for unpaid staff, any structure definitely would have been, would have avoided all those problems. Thank you.